Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Al Mashriq program on Radio Islam International. My name is Ibrahim Daya, keeping you company up until 12, inshallah. And on the program today, we will be joined shortly by Brother Idris Khamisa, and also my co-host, Mawlana Junaid Jassat, will be joining us after a few moments as well. From the beginning, we'd like to welcome Idris by once again to the program. Idris, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My most beloved Mawlana, I pray that you're well and the listeners of Islam are feeling good spiritually, emotionally, and physically, that the families are together, that they got up with a smile, they hugged their spouses and their children, and they have not given up on the children, although sometimes they do upset us, that they make dua for them, that they are excited, they are alive, and they are alive with possibilities. And inshallah, we pray that Allah in His mercy allows us to go to Ramadan, and may this Ramadan be the best Ramadan, the happiest Ramadan. And inshallah, I pray, it is my earnest prayer and hope, that when we die, inshallah, the happiest moment must be when Allah takes our ruh. When we leave this world, it must be a happiest day in our life, that we're going to meet our Creator. Allah is pleased with us, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah.
Inshallah, and we continue to make that dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us when we leave this world, we leave with that iman. And at least, even if the listeners were feeling down, I have no doubt that whenever they hear your voice on the airs of Radio Islam, they sort of get excited and they know that now they are going to get some good advice on how to be happy in life as well.
No, alhamdulillah. And you're talking about how to be happy in life. Firstly, there are many things that we need to do. One of the things is this, because of, you know, I speak for myself, because of the weakness of our iman, we only think Allah is merciful when things are going well for us, financially and otherwise. But a person who is strong in iman knows the following, that whatever happens only happens to Allah's will. And because of our blindness, we don't understand how Allah's works in methodology, we forget to see that. And if we understand, nothing happens except with His will, it will help us change our attitude. The second thing that we need to do is to look around us, look at ourselves, and be thankful. The fact that you got up unaided this morning, you cannot thank Allah. The fact that you had a problem and someone aided you, you cannot thank Allah. The fact that there is food in your home, you cannot thank Allah. The fact that there is a shelter, you cannot thank Allah. The fact that you got family, you cannot thank Allah. And most importantly, the fact that you got iman, for that, you can never thank Allah enough, because without iman, what do you have? The other very important thing we are told by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that when you compare yourself, you must compare yourself with those person that has less than you, you know, financially. But compare yourself spiritually, the person that is better than you. And I'm driving, and if he cuts off, please, I have not lost the emotional connection, you can connect with me. The other very important thing, inshallah, is that we must read our salah on time, inshallah.
Yes, very important points made there by Idris, by no doubt it will encourage us that just the attitude that you wake up in the morning with, that to be happy that you have been granted an opportunity again to be alive, granted an opportunity to worship, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we look around us and we look at the things that we have and those blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered on us, no doubt we'll feel definitely more happy. That let us count the positives and be grateful. And whatever difficulty we're going through, we make sabr on that as well. And Marjanaid has joined us on the program. Marjanaid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you this morning, Mawlana Ibrahim?
Alhamdulillah, doing very well, Mawlana.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. And our beloved Idris Bhai, how are you keeping this morning?
Oh, alhamdulillah, Mawlana, to hear your mellifluous voice over the airwaves, you bring delight. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We are very well. We pray, Mawlana, that you are also well and that you continue to shine the light in Ermelo.
Alhamdulillah, shukr, Idris Bhai. You know, it sounds so warm and welcoming after our cold weather here in Ermelo. and you know, I just feel revived and refreshed.
And yes, you know, the point that you make, you know, inshallah, you know, how nice if our wives can tell us in winter that you are my darling, my baby, my shishi bubbly, my doll, answered, you are the sunshine of my life. Isn't that wonderful?
Riva, you're in a very jovial, blessed mood today, mashallah. Allah Ta'ala keep you like that. You know, the words that we say and how we speak, and just our choice of words has such an effect on people. It's almost magical the way that words convince, change, raise moods, drop moods, make people happy, make people feel special. And I think words, it's a tapestry that can really change the way that we think.
Absolutely. And that's the point, you see. The point is, we must say that let me use words that will, you know, tickle the heart of my spouse. Words that use purring words. Words that will caress her tender earlobe. Instead of me saying to her, hey, you say to her, my baby, assalamu alaikum, my darling. Do you have a moment for me? He says, no, my baby, I'm a bit busy now. Can I speak in 5 minutes? And not a problem, my darling. I'm here to accommodate you, my sweetheart. How nice.
Yeah, you know, it is by just your choice of words. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in fact mentioned with regards to the choice of words, and he said, "Inna min al bayani la sihra," that indeed, of speech there is a degree of sorcery and magic in it. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared normal talking to magic, because magic is the is a way of changing a person's perception of things. It is illusion that a person creates by magic. And so with our words also, it creates an illusion. And it reminds me of that story, you know, it was shared very often in the past. I don't see it around nowadays, of the man who was in the hospital bed next to a blind man. And this man every day would give a description of beautiful scenery, and he says, today I can see the king proceeding down with his procession in all the beauty and pomp. And he says, today I can see birds fluttering about and playing with the little ones. Then he says, today I can see animals strolling by, and our scenery is so beautiful, and this blind man would just revel in that beauty and would enjoy it. And then this man passed away, and the next day the nurse came in there, and then the blind man asked him that, where's my friend? There's nobody to tell me what is happening on the outside today. And the nurse told him that all along, the only thing next to you out of this window is a brick wall. There's nothing else next to you. And then this man said, indeed, this man who passed away had really uplifted my spirits just because of his beautiful descriptions that he would give me, and it would really uplift my spirits.
You know, that's the point, you know, Maulana. I've seen this, you know, when I say it, it's more anecdotal, not out of immodesty, in my own life, you know. What I've seen is that no matter what you're going through, but if you smile at someone, and if you, you know, focus on the other person's problems, his issues, you yourself feel uplifted, you know, because upliftment is not only about your own personal feelings, about your personal life. Upliftment is when you know you brought joy to other people. And if we can, you know, appreciate, I mean, look at how beautiful our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminded us that if you were to make a dua for someone in his absence, the angels say Ameen to you first, that they Allah accept that dua for you. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? So there is no place, you know, for selfishness. There is no place for me, myself, I. And you find that the other people who have what, you know, and we're not saying we're perfect. Allah must forgive us if our intentions were tainted. That, you know, if you are there and say, Ya Allah, I want to meet him for, you know, for your sake alone, Ya Allah. And I want to go there. Anyway, anything that I can do, I want to help him. I want to bring joy. I'm prepared to stop my life for the other person. Then if you can do that, I mean, surely, you know, There is an Allah that is so merciful. Allah loves His creation. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminded us that if you help others, please believe me, Allah will help you. Look at that. If you help others, Allah will help you. Allah, when He's talking about, if I were to help a person X, I must expect nothing in return from that individual. But please believe me that you'll find your life change manifold because of Allah's mercy.
Yes, Idris, and the point that that Maharaj made, and then you also emphasize on, is that the impact that our words have on people. And recently, I read the story of one youngster, and he says, "I had a babysitter, and every day I would write something or draw something, and the babysitter would then encourage me and say, 'This is the best work I've ever seen, and this is there's no better writing than this, and there's no better painting or no better drawing than this.' And this encourages this child, and then after later in his life, this child then became a famous writer or a famous painter or whatever it may be, and he always remembered the babysitter that always believed in him and encouraged him with those words. So sometimes we don't understand the impact that we might say something. It could stick in a child's mind, it could stick in someone's mind, it could motivate them to go on and achieve great things. And at the other time, sometimes we say something can totally demoralize and kill a person's self-esteem.
No, you know, Maulana, it's such an incredible point you're making. That's a point. You see, sometimes, you know, all of us have a very high regard about ourselves. We think, you know, with Allah's gift to mankind here and whatnot. And once we engage people, when they give you feedback and you realize, you know what, hey, I'm not that beautiful after all. You know what I'm saying to you? There are things about me I need to improve. Therefore, getting feedback is so important, you know. And we make dua, Allah forgives us if we sabotage someone else, thwarted someone's ambition, or killed someone's spirit, you know.
I've got a few examples. And there's some, it's a message somebody sent me some time back, and I saved it because it was so interesting. It said it was just a few words. First one was Imam Ishaq ibn Rahway. He once said during a study circle of hadith, he said, "من ينشط منكم لجمع الصحيح?" Whom here is willing to take it upon himself to compile for us the authentic hadith? And Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, was present in that and said, "His words fell onto my heart." Imagine that it was just those words which sparked off the most beneficial hadith project in history. And that is when Imam Bukhari decided to compile a book on hadith, and then he became famously known as Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi. So it's just a few words from a mentor, from an adult, from a peer, from somebody that could inspire so much of good that the whole world could benefit.
That's the point, Maulana. It's about the person who inspired Imam Bukhari. He must have been an incredible person in terms of his purity, his concern, and the depth, from his heart, in inner recesses of his heart. And when you speak from your heart deeply, consciously, when you tell someone, you know, "I care for you, I love you for the sake of Allah," the other person will tell you, "You know what, you don't have to tell me that because I can feel it. I can feel your love. I can feel," you know, these are important things. You know, sometimes we lead such frenetic lives, and we forget that Allah is the provider. You know, we do not surrender to Him. And I think, you know, really, it's we all of us, we need a wake-up call. And we make dua that we realign ourselves in many ways in terms of our relationship with Allah, our relationship with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our relationship with the Ummah, and our relationship with people around you, you know, your family members, your children, whether you're in an institution, and all of that. May Allah guide us, give us strength. May tomorrow be a better day than today.
Ameen. It's just gone 11:30. I'm just going to request Maulana Ibrahim Dyer to mention our SMS line on air, and listeners can call in as well on 011-854-1548. It is by pains to hear voices of the listeners and some sort of feedback, but very seldom do we have people calling in. It is, I don't know, are you scary? Do you have people afraid to speak to you?
I don't know. No, in fact, you know what? Where I got reassured, I meet a lot of people that tell me, you know, Idris Bhai, I listened to your program, you know, but I didn't want to come over the line. So, but that's still there. But I think we would like much, many more people to participate, to get involved, because our program is practical. We are not theorizing or being philosophical. They can share with us any issues in terms of their personal development, in terms of their children, in terms of their marriage, in terms of the workplace, in terms of anything. And we are here, inshallah, to help them, you know. And please participate. Send an SMS. If you disagree, also not an issue. You can disagree with us, but please share your information.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's just almost 25 to 12. My name is Junaid Jassad. My co-host, Malam Ibrahim Daya, our guest for this hour, Brother Idris Khamisa. And speaking about the effect of words in our lives and how simple words can go a long way in changing a person's taqdeer, changing a person's life completely as well. And it is by just another example. We've heard of the famous Imam Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah. He was a muhaddith, very well known, and his handwriting was once spotted by Imam Al-Barzali. And this Imam Al-Barzali said to Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, he said, "Inna khattaka hadha yashbahu khatta al-muhaddithin." Your handwriting resembles the handwriting of the scholars. That's all he said to him. He says, "You look like you will be a scholar. Your handwriting looks like a scholar's handwriting." He says, Imam Dhahabi says that after hearing that, Allah Ta'ala placed the love of hadith in my heart. And that bit made him then the Imam of Hadith that we famously we know so famously, Imam Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah. And but it is, by on the other hand, you know, if you say to a person your handwriting is like a doctor's handwriting, then I don't think you're really praising them.
that's true. I'll tell you one funny story.
Sorry about that. Can I interrupt you before we take the story? We have a caller who's waiting on the line. Let's take the caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Welcome.
All right. Look, I'm listening to the program, and there's a lot of things that are interesting, especially when it comes to motivation of people. I personally have been very successful in recent years, and I learned something very early, that the tone is very important. No matter what you say, who you say it to, the tone in which you say things, I think, makes a hell of a difference to people. Even if they are depressed, there's a manner in which to say, you shouldn't really worry, or something like that, you know, trying to comfort them. But the tone and the manner in which you do anything, I think, is very important, plays an important part.
Okay.
It actually changed my life in business and everything I do. Alhamdulillah,
shukr.
Jazakallah.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just the tone of your language and just the tone of what you are saying, it is, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a very, very powerful point. Allah bless the brother. In fact, in several studies that were done, in one study, they looked at words, I mean, an ordinary conversation, not when you are being harsh or whatever. They said that words carry 7% of the value. Your tone carries 23%. Can you believe it? 23%. And 70% is about your facial expression and body language. Can you believe that? So tone is a very, it's not only what you say, it's how you say it. For example, people often have said, you know what, I may forget what you told me, but I'll never forget how you made me feel. And therefore, when you make a person feel happy, elated, and optimistic, they feel great. And if you are demeaning, you humiliate them, and then you are going to really, you know, make it very difficult, you know.
Yes, Idrisa, before we had the call on the line, you were going to share with us the two stories. I think we've left the listeners really want to listen to those stories. You've got us given them a trailer of what you're going to say.
Okay. The one story is when I was at the school, I was a teacher of English. So at the end of my pupil's at the end of his essay, I wrote something there. And so he asked me, what did I write? So I kept on looking at it until I realized what I wrote there was, please improve your handwriting. So I did not understand my own handwriting, and I'm telling the student to improve his handwriting.
Subhanallah. It is, that's an irony in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one story. Then I must speak about, you know, what was a turning point in my life as a student of English. And this is, alhamdulillah, I haven't stopped talking about it. I had a teacher, he's still alive, and may Allah bless him, look after him. His name is Malka Prada. And this teacher was teaching us in grade 11. And we were doing a poem, and it was called God's Grandeur. And in this poem, I showed no interest because that time I was convinced that I'm a useless student of English. You know, I know. So anyway, what happened, I was sitting at the back of the class and I was just teasing this one girl and, you know, doing some silly things there. He noticed me. He said to me, Idris, you are a very naughty boy. I said, no. He said, well, I'm not leaving the class until you give me your interpretation, last two lines of the poem. I gave the interpretation. I expected the class to laugh. And he said to me, Idris, I don't know why you don't take English seriously. You're given such a beautiful interpretation, better than the one that I know. And that was a turning point, and you will not believe it. I began to show an interest in the subject from that moment. And 8 or 10 years later, I became the chairman of the English Society of South Africa.
Subhanallah. So just that one statement where the teacher told you that, I don't know why you don't take English seriously.
That's it, you see. Therefore, as teachers, you must give children hope. You must look at how is it. Lecturing is not going to help. Get to know your students on a one-to-one, motivate them, inspire them. Take it from them a step at a time, inshallah.
Yes, it is, and just on that point, you know, when it comes to teachers, or when you have knowledge and you want to pass it on to others, the message that I can share with you that has come on the WhatsApp, it says that a person's most useful asset is not the head full of knowledge, but rather the heart full of love, and that ear that's ready to listen, and that hand that's willing to help others, and the tongue that would speak to others in a loving and caring way, and a motivated way, that you can get the best out of every person just by the speech that you have.
Alhamdulillah, Allah bless them for that thought, because remember that empires are built in the hearts of people. And you know what? Each one of us needs to do a self-reflection. If you're a kind of person that gets upset all the time, ask yourself, why do you get upset? Is it fair that sometimes you take advantage? Maybe your spouse may not be assertive enough or whatever, that you bully them. Why is it that you're so negative? Why is it that you are, for every solution you find a problem? Why is it that, you know, you're not positive about anything or about anyone? Why is it that you like to find fault? Why is it that you're not gracious in your praise? Why is it that you not encourage people? We need to look at ourselves and keep on improving, inshallah.
Inshallah, Aziz. It is by when it comes to parenting, when it comes to husband-wife relationships, when it comes to everything, I think the point made by the brother about the tone of your voice and how what volume you speak at, that also makes a big difference. You know, just recently dealing with a dispute between two individuals, and the one person felt so hurt because of the tone that the other brother used. Well, the other brother didn't even realize, and he said that, no, I didn't shout at you. I wasn't shouting at you. I wasn't angry at you. But this brother felt that this person was so angry with me and so upset with me, and he was afraid to go and speak to that person. And so for a whole, almost a month, he didn't speak to that person, thinking that he was angry. But that person didn't even speak in any type of anger. And even he didn't even realize that this person sensed anger from him.
You know, Maulana, that's such an important point, that the tone is, therefore you must always get feedback from people. But there's another critical dimension. The critical dimension is, you must know when to speak and when to be quiet. forever, and the beautiful tone, you know, with a smile. But people are getting bored. You know, all of us need to do things. We need to have moderation, you know. Hello?
Yes, it is, baby. We are here.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, that we must be moderate. So it's about, you know, maybe it's an opportunity for the listeners to engage with the family members and find out, you know, tell me, I speak to you, do I lecture too much to you? Do I have a conversation? Do I interrogate you? Do I interrupt you? And these are things that you got to ask of members of your family.
Yes, we want to have the most profound effect on the people that we speak to. You know, as radio presenters, we want our listeners to grasp what we are saying. We want them to understand. We want them to be intrigued. We want them to be interested all of the time. And this is because this is our job and this is our duty. Now, with our children, with our family members, we should be even more concerned about how they receive what we are saying, because that's not only a job and a duty, but that is our life. Welcome back to Al Mashreq on Radio Islam International. It's 30 minutes to 12, and our guest Idris Khamisa is driving. Idris, where are you driving exactly today?
I was in Roshni, had a meeting there, and now I'm driving. I've got another 12 o'clock meeting, so I'm here until tomorrow, inshallah.
Okay, so if anybody sees Idris Bhai on the highway somewhere, please wave at him and just give him a honk.
Yeah, but the traffic cops mustn't wave me down, right?
Yeah. We'll tell them not to wave you down as you're talking. But Mona Ibrahim, you wanted to say something?
Yes, I just want to share with Idris Bhai some of the messages that have come through. And it says, the one that says loving your inspirational words today is that I came home early from work and my radio was on and I heard a message with Brother Idris and I just couldn't contain my happiness, feeling so blessed and inspired. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all. And another one is with Idris Bhai, in line with the conversation that we're having of how to speak to people. And it's someone seeking advice saying that my daughter speaks to me in a very rude and abrupt way, and whenever I confront her about this, she does say maaf and she apologizes, and then for a few days it's good, and thereafter it starts again. So is there any solution to this, or how I should handle this situation?
You know, the thing is, the fact that she asks for maaf, that's a good sign, and I think throughout, the mother must be the role model for the child. And they must sit together as a family to look at, you know, what is acceptable, that, you know, you do not hurt each other, that the mother herself, I'm sure she listens to the daughter with a lot of sensitivity. These are important things, and the mother mustn't give up on the child, and they are some things that are non-negotiable. And the other critical thing is this, that sometimes, I'm not saying about this case, whilst, you know, these things upset us, we've got to make sure on our own part, for example, that we, when they do good, we applaud them, we recognize them for the good they are doing. So they feel also a sense of appreciation. It enhances the self-esteem and a whole range of things, you know.
Okay. Mona Ibrahim, other SMSs?
Yes, other messages are just saying that even very important when it comes to the marriage and the relationship, the way that the husband speaks to the wife, the way that the wife speaks to the husband in a loving and caring way, and this also thanking Idris Bhai for the wonderful program. They always feel that they are motivated and getting good advice on this program.
Alhamdulillah is very, very merciful. You know, we cannot thank Allah that we are in the airwaves to touch people's hearts, because I know this, that, you know, at the moment the Ummah is bleeding, our homes are sad places, it's a site of contestation and struggle, you know, we are fragmented, we are individualistic, everyone got their own ambition, there's no respect for father, grandfather, mother, there's no respect from parents to the children, there's sibling rivalry, there are drugs in our homes and all, may Allah make it easy and forgive us. And inshallah, let us make a determined effort to really get organized, have a meaningful relationship, inshallah. So we appreciate the kind sentiments of the family. And what I want to say whilst I'm here, inshallah, is alhamdulillah, once again, I want to remind the listeners that on 30th of July, inshallah, we're having the most dynamic marriage conference in South Africa. And we invited people like Yahya Ibrahim, Umar Suleiman from Berna Institute, Yasin Fahid at the Ascension Center. And even we are going to, in a halal way, connect people to each other, those who want to get married. There will be workshops there. We hope to get about 3,000 people there. And inshallah, we have also spoken Radio Islam, inshallah, as one of our partners, you know. So, and next week we shall give you more details, inshallah.
Well, what's the date again, Idris Bhai?
30th of July.
30th of July. And what's the website?
We got a, if you do, if you go to a website called Marriage QA, Marriage QA, right, and it will take you to the site and all the speakers there. Inshallah, we've got our own Maulana Ibrahim Baum is also going to be there. And there's another sheikh, his name is Grand Sheikh. I don't know if you heard of him, Idris Khamisa.
Yeah, I heard of that. Sheikhul, Sheikh, you know what he's called? Some of them, they call him Sheikhul Alas.
Yeah. Okay. This is Milkshake, eh?
Milkshake.
Milkshake.
No, alhamdulillah, Idris, but really we take a lot of benefit from it. And a listener just sent me a message. They say this program always lights up the listener's kitchens. Alhamdulillah, always smiles amidst all the weeds in life. MashaAllah.
You know, Maulana, that's the point. It's the point I want to make. If I want to make any point, no matter how much you are grieving, no matter how much of pain you got, who is looking at you? Who is looking at you? The merciful Allah. The merciful Allah. He is looking at you. And our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even reminded us, even if your sandals were to pinch you, ask Allah for comfort. Can you believe it? Ask Allah for comfort. We will never understand this except when you meet our Allah. And Allah will say, you remember that day when you were patient? For that alone I give you Jannat. Ya Allah, if I had known, I would ought to have been patient for everything that I did. And this is the Allah. We got to get to, that's why one of the things that we need to do is the way we introduce Allah to our children. How? Introduce Him with love. That Allah created you. Allah has given you this beautiful day. Allah has given you these parents. Allah has given you this hand, this mind. Ah, this is the Allah. And if you can do that, and my beloved sisters and my brothers, I know you go through challenges. Some of you go through very difficult challenges. And Allah tests those that He loves. Did He not test our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the highest, the most beloved of His creation? And how did He respond? And look at it. What has Allah given Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We could drink from His own hands, inshallah, on the day of judgment. And there'd be no water, nothing to quench your thirst. He's going to be there. And He will never be satisfied until every believer goes to Jannah. Where did you get this? And yet we complain. You know what? There are people who go through so many challenges, but they never complain. I say, Allah make it easy for you, my beloved sisters and my brothers, my beloved children. Allah make it so, so easy for you, inshallah.
Ameen. It is by beautiful, beautiful, inspirational, motivational, uplifting words. Allah Ta'ala reward you tremendously. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take work of deen from you. Jazakumullahu khairan for that. Maulana Ibrahim.
Yes, definitely a very inspirational or really motivational program that we had. And I think it all comes down to keeping in mind the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man kana yu'minu billahi فَلْيَكُنْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْكُتْ, that if you, that person who has true iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will speak good, and if he doesn't have anything good to say, then he should remain silent. So I think keep that also in mind when we are speaking towards people. Let's not insult people or demoralize people, but rather just be a means of motivation to them, as our senior on the program is this way.
Alhamdulillah, maybe make dua for each other. In conclusion, I want to say that Allah make it easy for everyone, that we pass our test of flying colors, that we are an inspiration to Ummah, inshallah, that those that we hurt, may Allah put in the heart that they forgive us, because we are human, we are going to make mistakes, and Allah is the Ghafur Rahim, inshallah. And those of you who are going through challenges in your marriage, you have an opportunity in the month of Ramadan, inshallah, to mend it. Be open-hearted. See the goodness in your spouse. Believe in him again, inshallah. May Allah also forgive you. May Allah also open your heart.
Jazakumullah khairan to Idris Khamisa, our guest this morning, and shukran jazilan to Malana Ibrahim Dayasab, my co-host, from us this morning on Al-Mashriq. And shukran to, especially to our Ziyad Khan, our studio operator as well, from us this morning at Al-Mashriq.
Don't forget, who you must not forget to tell you love?
Our Shushu Babalina.
Yeah, Shushu Babalina. You go to my baby, my John Hans. The man, the hunk, I love you, baby. My Shushu Babalina.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.